at you with your college degrees behind you, looking all official.
So that's, let me lean into the mic because I want to start the show this way. I'm obviously way behind as usual, but I've been working from home for like 5 months now, and I'm extended now, and so I'm going to be home another 4 months at least, possibly longer. This was my office down in the corner of the basement because, you know, having two kids, they took up, they basically take the entire house, and like this is the one nook of the house that is still like mine. But it was prepared to be my office, never thinking I'm going to be doing like virtual work and like be on camera 4 hours every day. So I was going to ask you guys, the experts in this, like, I think it's time to redecorate my Zoom background. I don't want to just do like the bookshelf, like every other person trying to pretend to be smart. So what can I do that's better than like two college degrees and a printer, but is not as like, obvious as just a bookshelf?
That's a great question, Tom. It's a great question.
Welcome to Take the Points, pandemic era.
You can have a really, really nice piece of art, like right there. That would be good as a serious answer.
Nice is like a Monet or a Picasso, or nice is like the commission painting we tried to get of like Kanye, the birth of baby Jesus.
That would be ideal. That's the painting you need. You need a Kanye representation of Jesus on the wall behind you.
Yeah, we talked about this like 4 years ago before Kanye went completely insane. This was our idea, right? We were going to commission an art piece of the birth of baby Jesus. That was going to be like our Christmas present to each other.
It was. I think it was season 4, Take the Points. I'm pretty sure that was on there. But
maybe it's time. I mean, the holiday season is approaching.
I think we're on the right track with the art and the music.
I kind of like the idea of some like weird commissioned art where people spend the whole meeting stare, like not looking at me and just staring at this like really in-depth painting, just trying to figure out what's going on.
Those paintings that you have to like stare at, like lose focus.
Magic eye.
Like a magic eye. Oh, that's genius.
You see people like this leaning into as you're trying to talk to them, it'd be hilarious. You'd fuck with people so bad.
You know what? That's actually genius. And I'm going to try to get one that says like, when you finally figure it out, it just says like, pay fucking attention or something like that.
Yeah. Just like a you suck.
Or just like stop zoning out during the meeting.
Yeah. That's genius.
All right. I think this is it. or to bring it back to sports, I'll just have it be like Danny Werfel doing a Heisman pose.
Yes. Or like the X-Files I Want to Believe poster. Just right there.
See, I knew that bringing this to you guys would be the right move. Yes, I am. Yes, I'm getting a magic eye, right, an X-Files I Want to Believe, and a magic eye poster. And that's going to be my Zoom background.
Yep.
And maybe one like
the left shoulder, the magic eye over the right shoulder.
Yeah, and I need like one weird vinyl record album. Not like, you know, Pearl Jam or Nirvana, but something that is like, why does he have
Smashing Pumpkins' Adore on vinyl? You need that.
Oh,
right,
that's
there.
Pretty good. Yeah. I was thinking like
something. No, like Weird Al's greatest hits.
Oh, see, I was thinking I would just have like the Harvey Danger one album or like Brimful of Asha, and people would be like, why that one? I mean, I like
Quarter Shop, just the Quarter Shop album.
Yeah. I like The Flies Got You Where I Want You, but why would he own that single?
A good cover. The cover of The Flies is a guy skydiving with a
kid. All right.
It's really good.
All right. So left shoulder, I Want to Believe. Yeah. Right shoulder, magic eye poster that says pay attention when you finally figure it out. And above my head, The Flies Got You Where I Want You on vinyl.
Yep.
All right. By the start of the Big Ten football season, this is going to be my back.
I'm going to be excited to come on Take the Points every week to see, you know, exactly what's going on, to see your progress. Maybe one day we'll see just the poster up. You'll be like, oh, we got that.
This is the smartest thing we've ever come up with.
See, we're back. Season 9, no anticipation.
Take the Points began as a written football column for my Chicago Tribune property I used to work at for, I think, 2 years before it turned into a podcast, which we realized was much easier than writing because I don't have to think and then write. I just have to talk out of my ass, and it makes it a lot easier. So I think it's 10 years of the property existing, 8 years in podcast form.
You are very skilled at that.
This is, anyone who's listened for more than a few years knows that we start every season the same way. First, Dan has to upgrade some software on his computer, and we start 45 minutes late. And then we ask ourselves what season of the show that we've been doing we're in. So
pretty standard. We should definitely go back and listen to last year's week one and take it from there. But no, we're too stubborn. We won't do it.
No, the only time we ever go back and actually listen to our own show is when we make some weird prediction and then it comes true 3 years later. And, you know, Dan, you're like, I said in 2017, Tua was going to win the Heisman. I'm going to look that shit up.
I know. It was so close.
So I guess I'll do an intro, even though we're already deep into it. Welcome to the Take the Points College Football Podcast, Season 8. I'm Tom. I'm here via Zoom now, a big upgrade, no more Skype, with Dan and Ryan live in Arizona. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you guys how life has been and what you've been up to the last 6 months before we get into football talk.
Me? Nothing. I've been working from home. I took up golf during the pre-pandemic. I started, but during the pandemic, since that was really the only place that never closed at all, I've been playing a lot of golf, like a lot. You'd be proud of me, Tom. It's kind of fun, really fun.
Good. I've been slacking. I've only been out twice this year and I've been pretty terrible both times. So, we may have like crossed on the graph where you're way better than me now, probably.
No idea. I shot my best ever round 2 weekends ago. I shot an 87.
Okay. Yes. You are way better than me. If I can get under 100 these days, that's like a miracle, I think.
Yeah, I'm like a 92 range is kind of like what I'm normally at, but you know, I've played a couple of decent rounds lately and broke 90 for the first time twice. So we'll see. It's fun. It's something to do. And there's a lot of golf courses in Arizona. And there's been a lot of golf to bet on. One of the only things we can gamble on is golf. So I've been really enjoying playing it and gambling on it as well.
My golf game is like, if you ever drive through like parts of Hartford or I guess any old northeastern city, and you see like an old kind of decrepit building and you're like, I realize that building used to be beautiful at one time, like maybe back in the 40s. You know, you can see the beauty, but you know, it's no longer there, but you can see the glimmer. And that's what it's like for me golfing. It's like 90% of my shots suck. Every once in a while, I'll just hit it from like 150, like within a few feet of the pin. And people are like, ah, he must have been good at one time.
it's a good feeling. Any good shot's a good feeling.
Yeah. And then I can of course be like, oh, well, that's how I would always shoot. Of course, if with more practice.
Yeah. Blame your kids.
I do for everything else.
Smart man.
Danny, how about you?
A few things, Tom. One, I was on the Pine Grove website the other day. They still offer Friday morning kids leagues in the summer from 8 a.m. to 12. Me and you were coaches of the youth league in 1997, where they had the same hours. So nothing's changed there.
Yeah, that's when we were the unofficial course pros.
Unofficial.
Until Kevin Zuhl ran over a kid's bag, and then they didn't hire young people anymore.
Oh, I forgot about that. Anyway, well, I got kind of an issue that I'm going to need your help solving. On Take the Points, I'm usually the person who focuses on the SEC. And I would like to continue to focus on the SEC. However, I quit drinking soda and Diet Dr. Pepper. So I feel like the people at Dr. Pepper might kick me out of the SEC.
Oh, you're worried about like Larry showing up. But I think Larry got fired, didn't he? I think he's been replaced too.
I'm not sure, but I need to do something to offset quitting soda. That's very SEC to keep me in the conference. So if you could brainstorm some ideas, some products that I can back.
So you want to be more Southern, or does it have to be like more specifically SEC football?
It would be a product from the South would be preferred. Like, you know, I quit drinking my favorite soda. It's from, you know, Texas. I need a regional product to offset the loss of soda in my life.
All right. This is important. So I want to think about it and I'll give you an answer next week. But mm-hmm. I guess my initial thought would be some things like, say, Chick-fil-A are just too obvious. And I think you can go a little bit better than that. And then other things like you can't have like blackened catfish, you know, every week. That might be a little... Yeah.
No,
logistically speaking, it might be too much. You're on the
right track, Tom. How about he needs to buy a smoker and then go online and order random like rubs and shit from like local Southern places. Support the local business in the South and try out all the different rubs.
Well, Dan, this might not be a bad idea because, as you know, people in the South love to argue about what state has the best barbecue. Mm-hmm. And this gets heated between Southerners. So very, you as a neutral party being from the Northeast and now Arizona, you got to count how many SEC states there are and how many weeks we have this season. And maybe you could review a different state's version of barbecue each week and then pick a winner. It could be like the Southern barbecue playoff. So you like one day, one week you do like the dry rub and then you put some coleslaw on there.
Okay, Tom, this is great. I love
this would actually like
this idea.
This would make all Southerners hate us and would probably bring us our greatest ratings ever.
That's actually a pretty good idea for every week you get a barbecue review from Dan.
Yeah, I'm sick of providing thoughtful and insightful gambling line analysis. I think we'll just go the Clay Travis route and just try to piss everyone off.
Accurate and gets ratings. So,
well, since so many people have lost jobs during the pandemic, I feel bad doing a tarmac report this year. I don't want to see more people lose work. So maybe the tarmac takes a year hiatus for Dan's BBQ review.
Our show's gone full. I don't know what it is.
All right, so listeners, as you obviously already know, this season is, it's going to be a real cluster. And, in our opinion, the real games don't start till the SEC starts. We all know this. I know that Oklahoma, I think, has been playing, but like that, you know, Clemson, but real football has not yet begun. So we're starting the podcast now, but it's going to be complete nonsense, even more so than usual until at least the SEC start. And for me as a Big Ten guy, it's going to be complete nonsense until October 23rd. So get ready for this.
Yeah, so it's going to be a wild year. I would like to say one last thing to wrap up the last point. Rumor has it Jesus Malverde has a smoker and has been smoking meats. So we need to get him on the podcast to talk about the smoked meats next week, potentially.
So I've been thinking about this as well, and he lives only an hour from me up in Massachusetts. And we invite him on almost every week. And once a season, he says yes. Most of the time he says, I'll think about it and then can't do it. I'm going to surprise ambush him, I think, like punked style. I think I'm just going to show up at his house with two Rode microphones and a soundboard and be like, we're podcasting, motherfucker.
Please videotape yourself pulling in his driveway, honking the horn. Oh, I'll laugh so hard.
Oh yeah.
Tom, that's gold.
All right. So gold, I think a smoker themed live from Worcester, Mass podcast is coming in the future.
I want to see you two filming outside next to the smoker in flannel shirts in a nice New England fall scene.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Maybe we'll just have tributes to the different regions of the country throughout this. Like we'll have great, Northeast great week. Idea. We'll have SEC week. We'll have multiple SEC weeks.
Hey, Tom, have you ever watched the YouTube show Hot Ones?
No, I'm not familiar with this program.
Oh, no. So Hot Ones is like an interview show and they put 10 chicken wings on a table in front of a guest, a celebrity. And it starts with like the mildest and it goes to like ridiculous, 2 million Scovilles. And they just, they eat a wing, they answer some questions, they eat a wing, and they just, they get progressively hotter. And it's hilarious because they can't handle it. It's ridiculous. It's crazy, crazy hot stuff. But there's one particular hot sauce. They change them up every season, different. They bring in different sauces, but there's one that they keep every year, no matter what. And it's called Da Bomb. And it's the one that every guest like loses their shit when they eat it. And during quarantine, I purchased a bottle of Da Bomb. And I feel like we've not opened it yet. And I feel like this needs to happen live on Take the Points.
So you haven't had it at all?
No, it's still sealed in the pantry. We've been waiting for the right moment to try it. And I feel like doing it live on Take the Points might be hilarious.
Okay. As longtime listeners will recall, I did have a Crystal Pepsi about 3 years ago, live on Take the Points when that had a comeback. And I have my own comeback soda that I'm saving for later this season. Keep in mind as I explain and say this, that it was a different time back then. But Dan, you know, you have family from Pennsylvania. Do you recall Cherokee Red soda?
Of course, Cherokee Red. Very, very red. Red, it was red soda. I don't know what the fuck else to say. Yeah, like, this stuff was only made in the hills of Pennsylvania. If you think the Washington Redskins logo is offensive, this is worse. I'm just putting that out there.
And, oh, 100%. It is not appropriate for this time. But I have obtained a bottle of Cherokee Red soda. It's been sitting in my fridge in my garage for about 2 years. I was given this. I did not go out and try to get this. But I think I'm going to sample this live on Take the Points at some point this season.
Okay.
And then from then on, we'll just call it the Pennsylvania soda flavor.
Yes. Cherokee Red, man. I haven't had that in the 21st century, I don't think. But
I can't even say the name of the place where they sold it because this is what you get when you go in Pennsylvania. But it was a firework and cigar store, which is a great combo. Yeah. And yeah, I literally can't repeat the name of it.
Pennsylvania is a unique place. Understatement. Me and you are both from PA, Tom. We're part of this. The state's very strange. It's got some highs and lows, just like everywhere else. That's all
I'm gonna say. Every once in a while, it comes out. You know, I live in Connecticut now. I'm very high class, but every once in a while, I slip back into upstate Pennsylvania mode. And by the way, like upstate is high class. Like where we're from in upstate is high class compared to our Pennsylvania roots. My dad's family used to burn their trash. There was no garbage pickup. They put the trash in a big metal trash can in the backyard and they set it on fire.
Well, that meant
I'm not talking about the 40s, 1998.
Yeah, my mom didn't have
1998, they're burning trash.
I'm listening to the Flies LP and they're burning trash in the backyard.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's great.
All right. Let's talk a little football then, Dan. Where do you want to start this week?
Okay. Welcome to College Football 2020. No season preview because we don't know who's all involved. As of right now, the Big Ten is scheduled to come back October 24th. Pac-12, Mountain West, and the MAC all in talks to do the same maneuver as the Big Ten. So we'll see what happens there. So no one even knows.
Yeah, I was prepared. I mean, I was prepared to come on here and talk about our like Tinder teams, you know, like we talked about last year when your team stinks, you can pick a team that you want to follow for that year. As a Penn State fan, I thought I was going to have to jump on like the Gators bandwagon or something, but they're back, baby. So that's very exciting. What are you guys going to do if, just on the off chance, the Pac-12 decides, you know, they're not going to play? It's just all SEC all the time?
Mississippi football 2020 is probably my plan, and just watch all Leach and Lane games in awe and be like, what the fuck is going to happen this week? I mean, there's no way to know.
Yeah, Mississippi football sounds like a nice play this season.
Who would have thought Mississippi football?
I mean, that really is a little dose of the Pac-12 down south.
You're right.
Yeah.
There's a free TV app that's called Pluto that you can get with a bunch of channels. They have one channel called Stadium. This is important because Stadium shows all the Hawaii football games. This is important if the Mountain West comes back to action, that the Hawaii football games will all be on TV. So little side note there for you Rainbow Warrior fans out there. By the way, saw a guy in the airport last month wearing a Hawaii Rainbow Warrior or a Hawaii football shirt. And he was sitting down in the club and I walked by and said, hey, go Rainbow Warriors. And he was shocked. I fucking said that and looked at me and said, thanks. You got to, you know, anytime you see a Hawaii fan out there, you got to give some respect. So anyway, who knows if the Mountain West and all them will come back, but this is going to be a goofy year. Who knows who's playing in the title game? Who knows who's going to opt in or out? College, you know, I mean, I think we're just going to have a playoff. I don't think we're going to have, like, all the little bowls. I don't foresee that happening if there's no fans. Who knows? So we're just going to have a lot of fun with this year and try to make some money in some weird spots. So anyway, week two lines, technically, this week. I don't know. Next week will be SEC week one. This might actually be like week zero now because SEC really is week one. But
I mean, this certainly does not count as a real week of college football. We'll call it week two just for, you know, consistency. But let's be very, very clear that the SEC starts the football season. Until they play, it's not real.
Yeah, does not count. All right, moving on. Wake Forest, NC State, I don't know. NC State at home, -2.5. Does anyone have any sort of tidbits on these teams? I got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you can't bet this one. You have to stay away because, you know, Wake Forest, they covered the spread against Clemson. It's you'll never get a good read on a Wake Forest team playing Clemson week one. So you don't know if they're much better than, you know, the final score, if holding them to under the spread was actually a sign that Wake might be okay, or if both teams, you know, if it was just a rusty Clemson team and Wake actually sucks. So the only responsible thing to do is stay away.
Excellent move, Tom. Thank you for your ACC expertise there. We're going to move on. Okay, Central Florida at Georgia Tech. Couple things here. Central Florida -7.5. How bad is Florida State if this Georgia Tech team won his favorite? Anyway, Central Florida apparently still has some weapons. Is the quarterback healthy? Do we know this?
Mackenzie Milton should be back, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're talent wise, they should be pretty much on par with the last few years.
Right. So when Mackenzie Milton played Georgia Tech 2 years ago, healthy, that spread was like 3 touchdowns. So 7.5. There could be some value there, especially having a fifth-year senior quarterback with all this craziness and no preseason camp and all that. Having a guy who knows the offense like the back of his hand is super, super beneficial. And Georgia Tech's not running an option anymore. So I like Central Florida a lot in this spot, by like a lot, 20+.
I think I would lay it with Central Florida, but I'm not as confident. Central Florida was one of the teams who has already been hit pretty hard by COVID. I mean, I think everyone's pretty much recovered and they're relatively full strength, but that at least cost them a lot of practice.
Just like LSU. So,
well,
Georgia Tech just beat Florida State. You think they give a shit about the game after that?
Probably not. But I do think I watched a good portion of that game just because I didn't want to watch the White Privilege Bowl between Notre Dame and Duke. And I thought Georgia Tech looked okay. Like I was pleasantly surprised that they were not terrible. And obviously they won. Weird. So I think they can hang for a half. I don't think it'll be complete and utter domination. And you know, Milton hasn't played in a while, so I think there might be some rust. So watch for maybe a closer first half and then pull away a little in the second half. would be my guess.
I swear teams that are favored by a half point more than a touchdown, 7.5 cover, like way more than 50% of the time. I kind of want to keep track of this year in a way. Just look at all the 7.5 point favorites and see what their winning percentage is. I feel like 7.5 is always like, yeah, like this team's going to cover, but everyone's going to take the 7.5. So it's like a sucker bet. So I agree with you guys. Next game, Boston College, Duke, more privilege, Duke -6, total of 51.5, 52. I got some thoughts on this one, actually. I watched some of the Duke-Notre Dame game. Duke played okay, actually, especially their defense. They're on the road against Ian Book, who's returning quarterback at South Bend. And they held their own, and they look fine, actually. And I read some stuff on Duke, said they have, like, second or third best defense maybe in the ACC, yada, yada. Boston College has lost both their quarterback to Oregon transfer and A.J. Dillon to the NFL, road game. I think this total's too high. I like under 52 in this game. That's my play for this game. I don't know who wins on the side. It's Duke -6. You're the ACC guy.
Yeah, I've got a couple of like slight leans, not a really strong feeling, but you know, if I were forced to gunpoint to pick this, I basically agree with you. I thought everyone looked pretty rusty and awful in week one. And so I'm betting unders for most games until I start to see teams execute a lot better. Just as a overall general rule, whenever it's even close, I'm always going under. And I bet the under on like 7 games last week, and I think I won 6 of them. So it's just because of this wild season and lack of practice time and the weird schedule and all that, the unders are the way to go. And the over-unders are still like what you would see in a normal season. So I feel like the under is the way to make money, at least for this week and until Vegas adapts a little. And then Duke, yeah, I thought Duke looked pretty good. I thought their quarterback looked pretty good. And I'd lay it with Duke in this game. Boston College is, you know, there's not a lot of evidence, but from the sort of experts analysis, they're supposed to be pretty bad this year.
Fine by me. All right, let's go to another ACC game. Miami, Louisville, 2 ranked teams, allegedly, as Ryan said.
16 versus 18, yeah. Oh, this game is the proof that something's messed up this season.
Yeah, there's no chance that either of these teams are the 16th best team in the country. That being said, Louisville at home gets the 2.5 point favorite nod, total 64.5. Like Tom said, that seems like too high of a total, but I don't know, hard to say. For me, I'm going to go down with the best quarterback and go out and I'll take Miami +2.5. They'll probably lose by 3 and he'll continue to break my heart throughout his college career. But, you know, I like to be consistent. Ryan, you got anything?
Nothing.
No, I think they're both. I think they're both frauds. I'll watch the game and see if one of them's a fraud or both.
So, much like my golf game that we're talking about, like I saw some real flashes of brilliance from De'Aaron King, Dan Partridge, future Heisman candidate,
yep.
2 years ago,
obviously,
right?
As well. Yes.
So I mean, he looked really good in certain spots in limited plays. But overall, Miami just looked awful. And so that's going to be a question of, like, was it rust? Can they develop? Is King just going to have to shoulder the entire load? I have a feeling that he's just going to be the only playmaker on that team, and it's going to lead to him running way more than he needs to. And I'm a little worried for our man, De'Aaron King, and his health, because he's going to have to shoulder way more of a load than he needs to. So I don't like it. I'll take Louisville.
You're probably right. Well, okay, you bet Louisville, I'll bet Miami. One of us can win. The other person can say, I'm happy for the other person.
Good. Well, traditionally speaking, through our life, when I bet one side and you bet the other side, that's automatic moneymaker for you, Dan. So,
yeah, but like, here's somehow me and you're both going to get screwed. Like, I'm going to take Miami +2.5, and you're going to take Louisville -3. like a half hour later and they're going to win by three. You're going to push and I'm going to lose. We're going to go 0-1-1. Can't wait.
That's definitely going to happen exactly as you just described.
Yep.
All right, move
on. Looking forward to that. All right, next. All right, we're gonna move away for a bit here. We're gonna go out to. Wow, we're gonna keep going past a lot of this trash.
I was ready to check out for a while if you were gonna go through all the lines, but if you're gonna be judicious about it, maybe I'll have a couple more.
Okay, there's just a couple left. We got South Florida at Notre Dame. Ryan tells me that's Charlie Strong at South Florida these days. At Notre Dame. Notre Dame laying 25.5 with a cool total of 48. I got nothing. Tom?
Who knows? Notre Dame's running back looks pretty good. That's about all
this
I can say.
This has 45-0 written all over it.
You're right.
42-3, 45-6, something like that. Over-under's right on the mark because I think Notre Dame gets close to a shutout.
All right, moving on. Houston on the road against my favorite former team, Art's team, Matt Rule's team, the team from Waco, Baylor Bears. The Baylor Bears -3.5 against Houston, total of 61.5. This has dropped a ton. This opened at around a touchdown. People actually like this Houston team this year under Holgorsen. That same quarterback's back from last year, Toon or whatever the hell his name is. Meanwhile, on the other side, I guess they lost a lot of players at Baylor. I'm not really sure. This is the one game where I don't care and I'm betting the over, and I'll take over 61.5.
I mean, I have no idea. As you can see, I'm growing a quarantine mullet in honor of Dana Holgorsen, but I still don't know if I would take it. Like, Houston was pretty bad last year, and I've heard that they're supposed to be better, but I haven't really heard the justification for it. So I think I guess I would lean Baylor if I had to. I mean, Baylor, if we remember, were they not the fifth or sixth best team last year?
Apparently.
And they still have the same quarterback.
And I don't know.
So I'll go Baylor based on absolutely nothing.
Who's the new coach there now? Took over for Rule. I can't remember.
Oh yeah, I guess they lost their coach. That's something I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
A lot has happened in the last 8 months. It's hard to remember all this stuff.
Yes.
All right, stay away.
Tulsa at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State -23, total of 66. I'm going to let Ryan kick this one off.
Oh, well, first, before I do that, it's Dave Aranda.
Oh, Dave Aranda, the former LSU D coordinator?
Yes.
He's the coach at Baylor? All right, I'm back. I'm back on Baylor.
I might have bet the over.
Yeah, Baylor and under.
Yeah, the under might be the play, actually. So anyway, Tulsa, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State -23, 66 the total. Ryan had a good take on this.
This is the battle for Oklahoma, the battle for the state. This is a big game, actually, for Oklahoma State. So I think this is a woodshed game where they run it up a lot and try to get that top six or so spot in the polls. By having a giant blowout win,
gets everyone
off of Gundy about the the right wing stuff, and so he just needs to keep blowing teams out. You know, this is like that classic Big 12 team where it's like, what is this final 66-3? Sound about right to you guys? Yeah, 66-3 sounds about right to me. So.
Which,
I mean, Tulsa has a decent offense, right? So even if it were a blowout, I think it'd be more like, 63-28, but same difference when you're betting it. I have no clue. I defer to you, west of the Mississippi.
Over. So my only over bet for the entire week.
All right, moving on. Here we go. Game of the week. Did you ever think in your life you would see a line between these two teams look like this, Tom? The Syracuse Orange travel to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to take on your son's Panthers. Total 50, Pitt minus 21.5. Is this the highest Pitt for Syracuse line we've seen in a minute? Definitely Pitt laying this most.
I mean,
ever? Well, since like
it's, I mean, it's got to be the highest Pitt's laid since the Dorsett era, and definitely the highest either team since, you know, since McNabb, probably.
This is the highest conference opponent line they must have had in a long, long time.
Yeah. When's Pitt laid 21 in conference?
In conference? Never. That's embarrassing.
No, because I was going to say there's got to be a time for Wake, but like Wake and Georgia Tech used to be better. So, no.
So,
this is, I mean, this is a low point, potential rock bottom for the Syracuse football program. When I saw this line, I was just like, I felt embarrassed, even though we're from Syracuse, but we're not Syracuse football fans. I feel embarrassed just as a Syracusian.
From what I've read on this game, I did a little bit of research. Everyone says Syracuse offensive line continues to be horrible, but this might be like the worst version of the offensive line they've had over the past couple of years. And on the other side, Pitt's D line is really good. It's just going to be a mall show. So this line opened at 20 or 20 and a half. I've seen it as high as 22. I think you're right. I think Pitt's going to really, really kill him. I don't know. Maybe like 38-10.
That was 38 seems like the exact number Pitt's going to get to. It's just a matter of can Syracuse get up to 10 or is it going to be 38-0?
I looked at a bunch of predictions and previews online, and multiple predictions picked the same exact score, which was 30-10, which is actually a Syracuse cover. But yeah. things look grim for the Orange. Like you said, I mean, I'll let you guys talk about Tommy DeVito, but you know, the O-line looks bad. This is the most Syracuse football thing ever. But as you guys probably know, Syracuse's top two running backs opted out because of COVID. And when I first heard that, again, not really following Syracuse football closely, I was like, oh, they're screwed. Like top two running backs. You're thinking it's probably a guy who almost had 1,000 yards, you know, 950 yards. And then a second guy who probably had another, what, 500, 550. Do you want to guess how much these top two running backs ran for last year? The second running back, the lower yardage, had 336. The number one guy had 337. Those are the two guys they lost. So that actually relieved me a little. Like you could take your third string guy and you're probably not going to lose that much production, but,
no.
Unless Tommy DeVito decides to, reverse course, shall we say, I just don't see like, I don't see where they're going to get the points to compete with a Pitt offense that looked good against granted Austin Peay. But
yeah,
I think 30 points sounds about right. And Syracuse is going to, once again, probably struggle to get, you know, much more than like 13. So I think Syracuse has a good chance to cover, but to win, you know, probably not. And I think it's going to be one of those games where if you do bet Syracuse, you're not going to feel good. Even if you get the W, it's going to be 4 hours of agony. So you know what we say about that. Think about your mental health. You know, mental health is already at an all-time low thanks to the pandemic. Do you really want to add to it by betting on Syracuse?
Absolutely not.
So Tommy DeVito, I mean, this might be premature, but he's definitely the front runner for a certain award that we covet very highly around here. Would one of you guys like to speak about this?
Well, I don't know if he's eligible. We'll have to consult the advisory board because he wasn't really a starter as a freshman. He just came in spot duty when Dungy kept getting concussed like every second game. So I don't know if that counts because he wasn't a freshman starter who got worse. He was like a middle reliever who came in was great. And they were like, let's make him a starter. And then he gave up 9 runs in the first inning of his first start. But this has been going on for 2 seasons. That's a problem. So the Zach Mills Award Advisory Committee has to have a meeting. I think it's going to be on Zoom Tuesday night. So we'll get an analysis from them and we'll see if he's eligible.
Advisory.
Next week, I'm going to have a very detailed rant, let's call it. I'm preparing some notes. I'm gonna have some things to say. This week, we're going easy. We're getting out the bugs, getting ready. When the SEC comes back next week, I got some things to say.
Good. Yeah. I mean, the way I'm looking at this college football season is that we're in a way lucky to have a season at all. And so I'm appreciative of whatever we get, even if it's weird and changes frequently and isn't as graceful a game as we're used to. And I'll be treating the podcast the same way. It's going to be a complete mess. We're just going to talk about whatever happens. Topics will change. Mm-hmm. Probably it's going to be harder to do analysis, but we're going to have a good time anyway.
Excellent.
Any closing parting shots you guys want to add before we sign off?
Nice to see you, Tom. Have not spoken to you face-to-face in many months.
Not since our Limp Bizkit special edition podcast, I don't think.
Oh, I forgot. We actually forgot that actually happened.
I have I'm going to save this for a future podcast, but I have a follow-up to that. I created a playlist based on our last podcast and all of the awful like early 2000s cock rock songs we made fun of. And I've actually been listening to this playlist semi-consistently over the pandemic times. And I'm going to provide an update on which songs have held up, which songs have not held up at all, and which have taken on a new meaning in this special era. But that's going to require another time. Possibly even like its own podcast.
This is great. This is good stuff. Well, yeah, anytime you want to lay that down, we're always ready. But yeah.
I've been good. I mean, having 2 little kids during the shutdown was very difficult. But, we're luckier than most. I mean, I consider us extremely fortunate. A lot of people have it really rough, as you said, in the restaurant industry and nurses and people who work at grocery stores, and a lot of people are struggling mightily. Yeah. So our thoughts are with them. We will provide 30 minutes of entertainment a week for all of you for free.
Offshore online gambling accounts. That's how we're going to make everyone some money during this pandemic. We're going to take money from Antigua and move it back to the United States where it belongs.
That's correct. Antigua is, I think their infection rate's much lower. We need that money back, Antigua.
We do.
It's for the first responders.
Any Antigua accounts, look out. We're coming.
We're coming for you, baby. A.AG accounts.
We should really do some vacation when we're like 57 years old to Antigua.
Why
and
wait?
Be like, hey, we're just going to go play a round of golf, ladies. We'll see in 5 hours. We're going to the like, sports book headquarters. We're going to the all the AG accounts. You're like knocking on doors, being like, what's going on in there? It's just like a little shack in a strip mall. You know it. It's like one dude at a desk like, yep, I run sports book. That's it.
It's probably run out of Phoenix, like out of the GoDaddy headquarters, but they just have like one guy so they can incorporate in Antigua. Yeah.
There's one guy with the VPN in Antigua with the team in Palo Alto.
Normally I'm for exposing corruption, but if all journalists could not look into this, that would be great because things are going pretty well down in Antigua. Let's not mess it up.
Everything's going great in Antigua. It's a constant flow. Yes. All right, Tom, have a great week. Enjoy the Pitt Syracuse game. Unfortunately,
that is not possible, but thank you.
Unfortunately, your son's going to be probably too young to remember this, but it might be his first really great memory is what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Can we pause for 2 minutes before we sign off? Like this is an inside joke. I don't want to assume everyone's heard previous episodes, but You know, I have a 1.5 year old son who's obviously, you know, this will be the first time he's ever like seen a football game and had, you know, object permanence to actually know what's, I mean, he won't know what's going on, but this will be the first ones he's actually really seen. Dan, for some reason, which maybe you could explain, you've decided it's your life's mission to make my son a Pitt fan.
It just makes sense. You being a Penn State fan, like, he can't root for Syracuse. It's really fun when...
That's where Grandma and Grandpa live, but, you know, he lives... Oh, God. We didn't even mention it, but how are we going to fill the void in our heart with no UConn football this year, Dan? But even if they were around, I mean, my son's not going to root for UConn football, so...
I really thought we'd get through an episode without talking about UConn football.
We're going to talk about them every week, even though they're not playing this year.
Tom, you son of a bitch.
That's impossible. We could just hypothetically say, all right, this week we got UConn at Memphis. Memphis minus 34.
All right, Dan,
what do you got?
This is a new run. All right. We should probably talk about this off air, but this is a new running segment. We're just going to do a UConn game and just name some random team like UConn Austin Peay, and we're going to treat it completely serious like it's an actual game that's happening and actually break it down and never mention the fact that they're not playing.
Be like, this week we got UConn at Central Florida. You know, UConn's got those undersized linebackers, so, you know, they're going to have problems slowing down that UCF attack, which is probably true regardless if they play football or not.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Okay. I like this running segment. All right, Dan. So quickly, why are you trying to brainwash my son into being a Pitt fan?
I just think this is like a good lifelong prank, you know, and it's something you really don't get a chance to do to somebody very often. So, you know, I mean, I would love to be, you know, 50, whatever, do the math, 7 years old, I don't know, and treat you and your son to a couple luxury tickets at Heinz, whatever the hell field stadium they call it someday, and be like, isn't this great? We got it. We're here for a big Pitt game against Austin Peay or whatever the hell, whoever they're playing. It don't matter. It's just a fun joke. And unfortunately, I'm not going to stop.
Well, the only company that will exist by then is Zoom. So it'll be Zoom Field in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And
actually, Heinz Field is changing names, by the way. Just a quick side note. The contract finally ran out after all these years. It's switching to something.
Is it going to be like the Bills and just they try to switch and then they just end up with no sponsor?
Most likely. It's the NFL. Things are a little slow there. It takes a couple of years to run its course.
Well, anyway.
In 20 years from now,
Dan... me and my son will be going to our first game at Zoom Stadium in Pittsburgh in the newly seceded Northeast Territory to witness the Pitt Panthers lose to Georgia Tech 27-13.
As long as I can make it through customs coming from the American Southwest state, then I'll be able to make it to the game. But who knows?
Well, hopefully President Bieber will have worked out the interstate travel plan by then, or the territory travel.
He's Canadian.
It won't matter by that point. It's fine.
Elon will be president in like 16 years, and he's going to rip out all those things, so we'll be good. And
oh yeah, you'll take a tunnel.
I'm going to take the tunnel from Phoenix to Pittsburgh. So that's, you know, these are all reasons why your son's going to be a Pitt fan. Plus, you know, he shouldn't have to be a Penn State fan. That's just a lot of torture for a lot of years. I think Pitt's going to win a title first.
So, all right, that hurts, but we'll set that aside for a minute. So the plan is, I'll take my self-driving Tesla from the Northeast Territory and you'll take the boring company tunnel from the Southwest Territory. We will meet at Pittsburgh. And we'll visit the shrine to Jonas Salk. Then we'll visit the next door shrine to the inventor of the COVID vaccine. And then we will go to Zoom Stadium. And once again, the only thing that won't change, Pitt will lose 9-7 to Georgia Tech. The one consistency through these troubling times.
Can't wait.
Hey, I got a quick question to think about for next week.
Step up to
is
the mic.
Georgia Tech, in 20 years, are they still going to be the Yellow Jackets? Because there's no bees anymore. The bees are all gone. In 20 years, when there's not so such thing as a bee, are they still going to be the Yellow Jackets? Are they going to have to change their name?
Well, if the Toronto Raptors still exist, then I believe the Yellow Jackets are still in play. As
yeah,
an homage.
I think that's fine. I mean, if you can be the Utah Jazz, like, it doesn't have to have the relevance, you know?
Washington football team.
We got a lot to talk about. I don't care if there's no games played this year. We got a lot to talk about. So
it's going to be a fantastic fall. There's a lot to discuss, Tom. You're absolutely right.
But we'll be back, I guess, next week and most weeks going forward. So thanks for listening.
Good night, America. That was fun.
Yeah.
I got to do that for a while.
It's actually better when the games suck.
There's like literally no games. We could have done the lines a speed round and then we'll do all the lines in 1 minute this week. We could have done that.